Hello and welcome to the First Pres Mommy Podcast, the show for people on the go who like to stay in tune with the conversations at our church. Today, Pastor Jason Armstrong continues the discussion of the Nicene Creed. Because humans are made in God's image and are given dominion over the earth, they have unique identity, dignity, authority, and purpose in Christ. Let's hear today's message.
So this morning we're continuing in our sermon series, which is informed by the Nicene Creed. The Nicene Creed, if you're new to us, is this foundational creed statement. It's ecumenical. Almost all Christian churches follow it, honor it, by church councils in 325 AD. So we're at the 1700 anniversary, as Clint has shared with us. And it defines who the Trinity is. And it responded to heresies of the day. This morning we come to the end of the first stanza of the Nicene Creed. The entire stanza being, we believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. You may remember that one of our goals of going through the Nicene Creed together as a church in the sermon series is that we would memorize it together as a church. So as we're at the end of the first stanza, and it's also printed in your notes section at the bottom, I believe, is the first stanza. We're going to say it together as the body of Christ. So say it with me. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. Did I do something wrong? Sounded like I was in a different space than you all. But what's good news about that is that's the short part. The next section is really, really long, so we're going to have to really work hard to memorize that, but we'll be doing that over the next weeks. So as you know, if you've been here, Pastor Clint has preached over those first two lines within the last few weeks. But this morning, I'm preaching on the third and fourth lines of that stanza, the final two. Maker of heaven and earth, Father, of all that is seen and unseen. So we'll discover three things together as we kind of travel through this scripture. First, that God is the first cause of creation. Second, humans are created in God's image and are uniquely connected to care for creation and for people. And the Trinity is the source of creation and salvation, and we are called to respond to that unified work. So in the beginning, we read in Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God created those five words, in the beginning, God created, they give us two crucial points to consider right away this morning. One is that there was a beginning. Two, there was one who started it all, one who started the beginning, started time and space, formed all of creation, that person, of course, being God and God the Father, the Creator. As we consider creation, it's important to remember the reality that has been preached about by Pastor Clint, that we are indeed post-resurrection people. And we do understand more fully that God is three persons. God is one, consisting of three persons. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. All equally God, all of the same substance, often referred to as the Godhead. So what did God the Father, the first person in the Trinity, do? In the beginning, God created. God brought the heavens and the earth into existence. God molded and formed them. God began time and space. God began the beginning. God created and brought to be something where there was nothing, something from nothing. In this reality, to consider that, something from nothing, there has to be a start. There's a beginning. These facts over time have influenced philosophers and theologians to create a proof of God's existence. This is known as the first cause. So the first cause, it's this concept of a single uncaused origin that began everything in the universe. Something that was uncaused caused everything to happen. This idea, central to cosmological argument, suggests that if you go back to the beginning, it doesn't go on infinitely. There is a point where things start. There's a part where the uncaused being caused things to be. Of course, we identify that as God, and specifically in the Trinity, God the Father. This was considered by philosophers like Aristotle, a 4th century Greek philosopher, B.C. Further, by Thomas Aquinas, who was a 13th century Italian Dominican friar and priest. He was considered the most foremost scholastic thinker of his time. What a great title for that man. They developed arguments for a first cause, asserting that it must be eternal, powerful, and distinct from the physical universe from which it initiated. You can see a further quote in your notes today from Thomas Aquinas as you go through your day. Just consider that. But it describes what they're really describing on this first cause idea is what's declared in Psalm 24, 1 through 2. The earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. For he founded it on the seas and established it on the waters. So, of course, we are revealed an attribute of God the Father. God the Father creates. God the Father created the heavens and the earth. God created everything. God formed, shaped his creation. He brought peace and purpose into the formless and empty darkness. He brought peace and purpose to chaos. And in doing so, God spoke goodness. God spoke into his existence light. He separated light from the darkness, day from night. And as we go on through the creation story, verses 6 through 24, we see the continuing acts of creation of the Father. God created the sky, the land, and the seas, vegetation and trees, the sun, moon, and stars, the creatures of the sea and land and air, livestock and wild animals. And in God's final act of creation, recorded in Scripture on that sixth day, God created humans in God's own image. Rereading Genesis 1:27. So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. So what does it mean to be created in God's image? It means that our entire self reflects God's image. We reflect God's glory. Like, obviously, we're not the creator. We'll never be totally like God, the Father, as a supreme creator. But we do have his ability to reflect his character, his love, his patience, his forgiveness, his kindness, his faithfulness. And in respect to the Trinity, in all the ways the Trinity perfectly works together to create and to save. And being the only created being made in God's image gives all human beings a unique dignity, a unique value, identity, authority, and purpose. This foundational truth is vastly important in our understanding and how we love and care for other people and for all people. And if we consider the Hebrew culture as they're considering this text, we look back and we see, if you go into the Old Testament, that often Hebrew culture was concerned with the community, keeping the community secure, keeping the community holy, a very community-based language. You may even remember texts where God would say, "Be holy to his people because I am holy. Stay together and stay holy." And that identity, their identity found in this communal nature and in God, it's different. It's changed over time compared to where we are today in our postmodern American culture. Today we are one that largely emphasizes individual autonomy. With the result being that if you're not created by God, if you don't believe that or you don't know that, you then have to create your own identity. You have to create your own value. You have to create your own identity apart from God. And as you consider our young people among us, with this increasing life affected by technology and never-ending voices speaking into their ears, telling them who they are, who they should be, without the foundational knowledge that they are valued because they are creating God's image, they're trying to create their own image, that's a heavy, heavy burden to bear for a person. If you've been reading What's a Christian Anyway, the book that we're using as we go through this sermon series, it speaks to that. It talks about how we've witnessed the spiritual and mental health of our younger generations decline. And we're a people who understand what a great gift and blessing it is to live with that foundational truth underneath us. We are created in God's image. We have value and purpose and dignity that's not given to us by some other outside source. It's given to us by the Creator. It's what we have. It's who we are. There's freedom in that. There's security in that. We consider more fully being what it means to be created in God's image and how the Father creates. If we look at Psalm 139, 13 through 16, it reads, "For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be." So it's people acknowledging this truth and understanding the uniqueness we have in being created by God, we need to continue to live in ways that reflect those qualities as God's image bearers. Reflect that personal, relational qualities of the Trinity. Try to reflect that as best we can. For those we come in contact with in our life, we need to reflect that, display it, love them, show that patience and forgiveness, kindness and faithfulness. Especially for those who are hurting, those are trying to figure their lives out, who they are, how they've been created, what their purpose is. For those whom you disagree with, those whom you disagree with are created in God's image and have that same value. And even those who wish you harm. As God has said, or Jesus said, love your enemies. In that in the idea of the humanity and dealing with other people, we also have in our scripture today, the idea of having dominion over the earth, ruling over the earth, subdue it. What does that mean exactly, to rule and subdue and have dominion over? So Genesis 1:28 introduces the term. It's the original mandate for mankind. Dominion here is a delegated authority from God. It's an echo of God the Father, the Creator's good intentions, good purposes for creation. Subduing the earth involves cultivation and order and stewardship and never cruelty and never harm. This is our job and calling as ones created in God's image. So how do we exercise dominion over the earth as God's image bearers? That's a big question. Huge question. So I'm going to make it really small. We're just going to talk about each kind of a micro way to do that in our own individual lives instead of looking at a big question there. So each one of us as individuals in our community, think about that context. Because I think as people living in the postmodern world, we do have some difficulty with the concept of caring and dominion over the earth, over creation. For example, I bet many of us are the same as me here, that we don't grow our own food. I mean, maybe you grow some in your garden, but you don't grow enough food to sustain yourself and your family, certainly not for a year. I haven't done that, and I don't come from a family of farmers. I've never worked on a farm. Maybe some of you have. And I'm not even much of a hunter. Although I do fish some in the local ponds, but I'm a catch-and-release guy. If I catch a fish that big, I'm doing pretty good. But I certainly can't provide for my family with bluegill that big. You have to catch a lot of those. I go to the grocery store like probably all of us, and there I go buy my meat that's already been butchered, and I can pick out what I want, and they wrap it up nicely, and I carry it out to my car. I buy produce that's already packed and packaged in the bins, and when I go to the store and have to get that produce, I have to struggle with that crazy bag that you have to pull out and you can't get it open, right, Rich? Now, I don't want to sound like one of those people who is against technology, because I marvel at the fact of our ability to grow things, especially this time of year when you see the cornfields are now fading, You see the wheat fields, and they're solidly packed with plants that produce food for us. So I'm grateful for that, because I know that I don't have to literally spend most of my days, if not practically my entire life, trying to hunt or feed my family through gathering food. That's quite a blessing to be able to just go to a store and buy it. But that enhanced quality of life with abundant crops and meat available, I think it may become easy to lose sight of the reverence that we should have for those things that are created and those animals. Sight of the God's original purpose is to glorify and reflect his qualities through our care of that creation. I was thinking about ways to reconnect with that in our context. And I think it might be a simple one to start with anyway, is simply putting your hands in the dirt, digging a hole in the ground, planting a seed, watering it, mulching it, weeding it, that seems to never end, never-ending weeds, and caring for that plant as it grows. Even if, as you probably have a lot of experience with this, even when it's snacked on by rabbits, which is pretty annoying sometimes, or faces long stretches without much rain, growing a plant, growing a flower, growing some produce that connects and provides for, you start even to see the system that the Father created. Other animals eating the produce of the plant, maybe bees collecting pollen, birds eating seeds. The whole system of creation is set in motion, and you were a steward of that. Putting your hands in the soil, and good soil too. I don't know about, a lot of the soil we have around here is clay, so I'm not really going to, I don't know if I can say that's not good soil. God created it, but you know what I mean. The good soil that produces great plants. You know, it has that feel, it has that look, it even has that smell as you're digging into it and cultivating it. That soil which God created and shaped and formed, you have dominion over. And as we witness the beauty of creation and how all things work together, we're reminded how that occurs in nature and what nature itself can teach us about God as we look out into our beauty today. The book of Job describes this in chapter 12, verses 7 through 10. It says, "But ask the animals, they will teach you, or the birds in the sky, they will tell you, or speak to the earth and it will teach you, or let the fish in the sea inform you. Which of all of these does not know that the hand of the Lord has done this? In his hand is the life of every creature and the breath of all of mankind." And as post-resurrection people, we also have some additional insight into creation. So we know that those who have been recreated, the Trinity aspect, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, we know that the Lord Jesus Christ also had a role in creation of all things seen and unseen. We realize that this revelation about God, that Jesus was there in the beginning. You may know Gospel of John chapter 1, verse 1. "In the beginning was the Word," that's Jesus, "and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. He was an equal," Jesus was an equal and cooperating part in creation with the Father. And we read this truth testified fully in the book of Colossians. The Apostle Paul writes, it's our second main text for today. I think it's page 1182 in your pew Bible if you want to read along. This is Colossians 1, 15 through 20. I'm going to take some time to read this a little bit slower than I normally would, because it's such a powerful testimony to who Jesus is as part of the Trinity. "The Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. So when we realize the full divinity of Christ, Christ's role in creation, his supremacy over all things, that he holds all things together, and his role in providing redemption and reconciliation for creation and individuals as a whole, that one day, we heard at the end of our reading today, that when God made people at the end of the sixth day, he said that things were very good, things were holy, things were righteous, things were the way that God wanted them to be, and they will be again through our Lord Jesus Christ. We also know that sin came into the world not much later in the story, and things were corrupted. So Jesus is the one who will bring all that back to the very good. So when we consider all that, and that we have dominion over the earth and are made in God's image, I think we are required to respond to that. We're required to respond to the creative work and the redemption of the Trinity, of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And we're required to respond to that by properly glorifying God with our lives. By both caring, respecting, and desiring the flourishing for all people. With the dignity and value that they naturally have as God's image bearers. And also to continue the job gave us at the very beginning to cultivate, to bring to order, to be a good steward, to make all good things come of creation. What God the Father created and put in our hands. And as we do that work, glorifying God, we should do it joyfully. As all creation sings out when we do, it says in Psalm 96, 11 through 12. Let the heavens rejoice. Let the earth be glad. Let the sea resound and all that is in it. Let the fields be jubilant and everything in them. Let all the trees of the forest sing for joy. So I challenge you to look into the world right around you today, this week, because it's easy to get lost in all that's going on in our communities, in our country, in our world. All the darkness that's there, the assassinations and the murder and the wars and division and all the things that are going on that are of the darkness and not of the light. Take notice. Try to look with God's eyes. Ask God to give you his eyes. To see where you can work as image bearers of God. To develop and build up and provide for those who are suffering from injustice or indignity. For those who have been deemed to have little or no value. They all do, because they all bear God's image. And in the same way, work that soil. Get reconnected with. And if you're not a gardener, if you're not into planting things, go buy a pot. Put some dirt in it. Put a seed in it. This time you probably have to anyway. And witness that plant grow. There's something divine about a plant popping through the dirt. Would you agree? And remember and reflect the unity of the Trinity worked together in creation. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And the salvation offered through Jesus Christ found in love, mercy, and grace. Let us pray. Lord, thank you for creation. For the creation that's around us, the beauty it holds, the revelation it provides about who you are as the Creator, the Father. Lord, I thank you for all the people who you created, who are here with us today, whether online or in person. Thank you for the value and the uniqueness that they bring to the world. Holy Spirit, I pray that you continue to guide us and inspire us to be agents of God, to be the image bearers of God in the world. So even in difficult times, people will know the love, the grace, and the mercy found in Jesus Christ. Amen.
We hope you've enjoyed our First Pres Mommy podcast. Learn more about our church at our website, firstpresmommy.org. Have a great week.